With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
My God, that's terrible. Are you strangling a cat, Paddy?
No, I'm actually trying to make one of those ads where they get people's attention by using the sound of some really unusual noise.
Well, that makes more sense.
I'm learning the Ghanaian bamboo flute. I think it'll get everyone's attention.
Could you not just tell them about the really good sign-up offer for listeners of the Football Ramble? You know, the one where you open a Paddy Power account, bet a tenner and get a free 20 quid bet, no strings.
We all know the answer to that one. Go to paddypower.com/ramble.
Everybody, it's the Football Ramble. You've made it once again to the best part of your week. My name's Marcus, and I've got three wonderful chaps with me. Pete.
Oh, Sumimasa!
Back from Japan.
Hello.
Back from Japan.
Back
Luke.
From Japan.
Back from Kilburn, all right.
Uh-huh, that's in North London. And Jim?
Back from South London. Now, I've moved.
Have you?
Yeah.
You were out eating East London East, before.
Yeah. Where have you moved to, Jim?
I don't want to say, in case anyone comes around.
Such a hot ticket.
People start burning effigies of you.
That's why I moved. So I don't want it to happen again.
That is true. It is the Football Ramble, you lucky things, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start by talking about...
Pete's holiday? Surely we're going to start with
Pete's sex holiday.
No. Pete's holiday will come later when we're talking about international football.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, it's all planned.
Not watched a lot of football this week, I'll level with you.
It's all in my head. Now, in the Bundesliga on the weekend, Stefan Kiesling scored a phantom goal. A phantom goal.
Oh, it was literally through a hole.
It was ridiculous. Did anybody see this?
I saw it. I did see it. It was a header.
From a corner.
And he headed it just sort of slightly to the left of the post.
Well wide.
Yeah, into the side netting. Hole in the net. Yeah. Hello, 2-0.
Who scored the first?
Can't remember. Sydney Sam.
Shouldn't the referee have checked that before the game when he goes around the nets?
He should have. The linesman, I think. The assistant referee's job, I think that is.
It is.
It's a hard job, though. A net is made of holes.
It was only one loose little piece of rope.
The net is full of holes. Do you reckon that a sort of very new assistant referee would call the referee over and go, yeah, that has a hole there, that hole's fine. That hole's fine. That hole's fine. All the way through.
Imagine they do that before the game. Yeah. It's like ages.
Bird flew over and nibbled on it and made the hole.
It was one of those ones where...
That is a very sort of anime thing to think. You've been influenced by your surroundings. Clearly.
Let him. Yeah. It was one of those decisions where only the referee thought it was a goal. Mm. The player is Kiesling. He actually held his head because he thought, I should have scored that and walked away, as everybody did. And the referee's gone, no, I think that went in, actually.
Yeah.
Despite the reactions of everybody else in the stadium.
All right, Stefan, you should have done better, but we'll give you that one. All right? But I think it's because Sydney Sam is so good that his first goal counted as two, and they just had to find a way of making that happen.
Mm-hmm. It's an opinion.
anyway, all I ever are.
Can you recall an occasion when a goal was scored, but it wasn't actually a goal? Phantom goals.
They're called ghost goals, but for some reason you're calling them phantom goals.
I know. No, they went in for Germany. I think they were saying it was the translation was phantom. I think.
Okay.
Ghost goal, phantom goal. Pete, what have you got?
One of my favourite comic book heroes.
Phantom goal.
Or Sydney Sam.
Sydney Sam. mine's Sol Campbell's disallowed goal in the 1998 World Cup against Argentina.
No, that's a disallowed goal.
Definitely went in though, didn't it?
Well, no, phantom goals don't go in.
Yeah, but it counted and it shouldn't have counted.
No, you've got this wrong.
No, it went in, it counted, and it shouldn't have counted, and we won the World Cup.
Right.
Shouldn't have won the
Where
World
have
Cup.
You been, Marcus? Well, you're a football fan.
You call yourself a host of a mediocre podcast.
Oh,
and you
idea.
Are that. And you are that.
The Ramble's never been abandoned, ladies and gentlemen, but it could be this week. Peter, what is your real answer?
That is my answer.
Ask me.
Yeah, Luke. Answer,
mine is when Frank Lampard scored against Germany and England won the World Cup in 2010.
Are we going to have to start again?
No, mine, I'll give you one. I've actually got one.
Yeah.
Mine was in the semi-final in 2012 of the FA Cup, Chelsea Spurs.
That's right.
And the goal was awarded for Chelsea.
Yes.
It wasn't actually a goal.
No.
And it was one of the reason I've chosen it.
It wasn't even nearly a goal.
No. Well, absolutely, it was blocked on the line. But one of the reasons I've chosen it, it was one of the few times, well, actually the only time, where John Terry was actually an all right bloke about it. Where he said, "I thought it hit me. I don't think it went in. I thought it stayed out. I didn't think it was a goal. I've not looked at the replay, but it probably wasn't a goal."
That, and it was when Mata was credited.
He was.
Yeah.
It was blocked on the line. There's no way, under the rules and stuff, or the laws, there's no way anyone could have told it was in or not. So there's no way they can give it. It was just ridiculous. I was at the game, and I remember thinking at the time, that's mental.
And that is a ghost goal, Pete. So if you can think of one in
I'll think of one right now.
Yep.
Pete,
okay.
Do you want me to take you on?
I'm going to go probably for Paddy Connolly, Dundee United versus Partick Thistle in 1993.
Yes.
It was one of the most unfathomable disallowed goals recorded. It occurred north of the border, which is where the Scottish Premier League...
Hang on, again, was the goal disallowed?
The goal is scored
as a phantom
the
goal.
The visitors accepted the goal without question, with the Thistle defender even picking up the ball in recognition it had been scored. But referee Les Mottram inexplicably waved to play on, letting on away so it wasn't a goal.
Even the internet.
Sky Sports, boo you.
Just reading off the internet.
Right.
It's like the Hall of Fame's back.
Shut up, stupid fan.
What I like about it, I'm an absolute fuck up and we still get to criticise Mike at the end of it. It's brilliant.
Really?
Jim, go on.
Yeah, mine is quite a memorable one. It was Reading Watford in the Championship. There was some sort of kerfuffle in the box.
2008, that was.
Yes, and the ball went just wide of, quite significantly wide of the right hand post. Scuffle from a corner. It was given as a goal. It was actually given as an own goal for the Watford defender John Eustace.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, and apparently the referee asked Stephen Hunt, was it a goal? And Stephen Hunt just sort of went, yes.
If you like.
It was given.
If you want.
It actually went wide.
It's up to you, mate.
It went wide.
Well wide.
Like at least.
But like not even like the Kiesling goal. Like it didn't go near the net.
Kiesling's ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah.
This
went out for a goal kick. Like,
yeah, that was...
No, it should have been a corner. Yeah.
It didn't go anywhere near the net.
Wait, well, I mean, the referee on that occasion was Stuart Atwell, and I wonder what he's up to now. Oh, he's in the Premier League.
Was it Atwell?
Yeah, it was Atwell, yeah.
Pete, have you got one?
It didn't sat well with the fans.
Up yours, Atwell.
Yeah.
Pete, have you got one?
Luis Garcia.
That'll do.
Was that against Chelsea in the Champions League final?
Semi-final. Marcus.
Marcus, if we're going to be this pedantic about it, surely a ghost goal can be any goal scored by a player who is now dead.
Yeah, it can be.
No, unless he scores the goal.
Or anybody dressed in grey.
Has to score it again. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm going to go for Thomas Helmer for Bayern in 94, when it was not even anywhere near the... Well, it was close, but it was clearly not a goal.
Is that giving you the points, per chance?
No, I'm going to give Jim the points, actually.
Jim's was the best answer.
Well done. Well done, Jim.
Well done, Jim.
Well, Pete didn't get it. To be
right. Well,
also known as a phantom goal.
You phantom menace, you are.
I get the feeling if we carry on like this next week, we're going to have a phantom host.
Let's go to the Premier League. And Chelsea beat Cardiff City 4-1.
Yeah, which infuriated Jose Mourinho.
It did, didn't it? He was accusing Cardiff of time-wasting straight from the off, which is, I'm sure, what the listeners are accusing Pete of doing this week. But, 4-1, much scored after a defensive mix-up. David Luiz just let him go
very
through,
poor,
didn't he?
Wasn't it?
Very poor.
Yeah, I thought that was an excellent attempt at a dummy. I just loved how it was so nonchalant. It really made me like. Not many things when you watch football during the course of the game make you like openly, like properly laugh. And that really made me laugh. He just didn't care.
But the funny thing is, he'll probably start for Brazil in the World Cup.
Yeah.
When they've got Dante and Thiago Silva.
Yeah. He's vice captain of Brazil. He normally always plays. Yeah.
Big Phil must not watch the Premier League.
Dion Dublin.
Although I do rate Luis a bit.
Yeah, but Dion Dublin piped up. Did you see that programme on Sunday?
Match of the Day Extra.
They had to bin it off because they lost sound. But it was actually all right. Yeah. But Dion Dublin was talking some nonsense. He said he'd like to see David Luiz playing in the hole behind the front two.
I think he means defensive midfield.
You realise that he plays for Chelsea and Brazil. They're not shorter players in that position. No.
Mark Chapman made quite a good point when talking about West Ham Manchester City and said Manchester City was starting with the same centre-backs as they did away against Stoke or something like that. Oh, he made a comment, I can't remember, which is a bit annoying. And he said, what do you think, Dion? And Dion just went, Sergio Aguero. Sergio Aguero was a different today. And he went, but are you not going to comment on what I said? No.
I thought I've only seen the goal.
The presenter was making a quite good point, which annoyingly I've forgotten, so bad on me. But
play him in the hole. Just reply every time. Play him in the hole.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Dion Dublin's quite a versatile footballer, wasn't he? He just thinks that, you know, any player can play anywhere.
Magnificent cock as well. If the reports are to be believed. You know?
What, Pete or Dion Dublin?
Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, Big Alex.
Oh, Big Al! That's why they call him Big Al.
From the mouth of babes.
Yeah. Indeed. But what about the goal that...
Eto'o. Yeah. Nicking the ball off the keeper unfairly. Yeah. It was unfair. It's against the rules.
Yeah. He's been playing FIFA 95, I would imagine. Because I think FIFA 95 just provided that grey area where some players think that's okay to do. I still don't know.
It's not allowed. I mean, the laws state
it's
apparently
ridiculous.
The goalkeeper is considered to be in control of the ball while the ball is between his hands and any surface and while in the act of bouncing it on the ground. So he's not allowed to do it. So you can understand Cardiff being annoyed about that. Given the week that Malky Mackay's had, that's all he needs. Yeah, he could lose him his job. It won't be that, but you know what I mean. It doesn't need more pressure or that sort of thing going on.
Yeah, I mean...
Referees get a lot of stick and sometimes it's unfair. It's a difficult job, but they should know the laws of the game.
That was so poor. That's the kind of decision as a manager, as you say, Malky Mackay. He just thinks, what's the point? You know,
hard enough anyway at Stamford Bridge to get any sort of result.
Yeah, exactly. And Hazard obviously put the ball in the net. Oscar,
they almost mucked it up though.
They
did make very hard work of it.
Gary Medel came in and tried to chop. Well, he did chop it.
He'll do that.
Well, I would have liked it if the ball had not ended up in the back of the net and Medel scythed him down and the referee had given the penalty. He would have gone, well, hang on. It shouldn't have been given. That's 1-1, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a great trait of a lot of South American players, and I think we've touched on this before, where they have no regard for where on the pitch they are. They'll do the same tackle in the penalty area they will on the centre circle. They don't care. They're not changed their attitude at all. And that's part of the reason why South American football and footballers are so great.
Yeah, that is very true. Oscar scored a lovely one.
Hasn't Oscar... equaled his tally for last season with his goals already. I mean, that is justification for Mourinho selecting him over Mata in that position.
He's Chelsea's top scorer this season, I think. He's their top scorer, I'm pretty sure of that.
He's a great player. Mourinho was sent to the stands, wasn't he? Yeah, he was up sitting next
fan
to
got some
of
fan got to sit next to him. Took a really sort of surreptitious selfie with him.
Yeah, did he?
Mourinho selfie.
Up his nostril.
If you were watching Newcastle, Pete, and Alan Pardew came and sat next to you in the stand, would you bend his ear or what would you do?
I would hide any ladies near. I'd say, Poppin, could you go and get me a hot dog?
For the rest of the game, yes.
No, not Alan's hot dog.
He's got it in a bun. Oh, God.
Not again.
He always does that.
That's what he was sent to the stands for. Excellent.
Do you have anything to add?
No.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say something. Personal account or something.
If I'm going to say something, Marcus, I'll speak.
Okay. You can be a bit shy, though.
Yeah. Okay.
It took us years to get the best out of you.
I think the best is still to come. Yeah.
Still waiting for Marcus's. Hey, what?
That's his one. Five.
I'll get you to turn your own microphone off in a minute. Do us all a favour. No, I'm joking. It's bloody good to have you back, Pete. It was rubbish last week without you. Mourinho didn't do the post-match interview with Match of the Days. He was angry with Cardiff, as he accused them of
time. It seems odd to punish the BBC.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Who do you think he is, Sir Alex Ferguson?
Well, maybe. Maybe. But elsewhere in the Premier League, Newcastle United got a very good home point against Liverpool 2-2. They were down to 10 men with Yanga Muiba and Mbiwa sent off. Sorry. And Kabaye with a lovely long ranger, Peter. Yeah.
And a goal from a man who's not played a lot of Premier League football.
Dummett was absolutely loving it. He was loving it. I love seeing a player pleased.
I mean, he's exactly the sort of footballer that clearly Mike Ashley's really, really into at the moment. He wants the homegrown players. He doesn't want to spend any money. He wants to sell a club and stuff. So it's really good news that he's
on £40 a week. That's why Ashley likes
it. But everyone's sort of saying, oh, he's like, you know, he's a player who's not played that much football. But he's played like 30-odd games in Scotland for St Mirren. He's won the League Cup with St Mirren. You know, he's probably more qualified than a lot of footballers on that field.
He's a good finish. He went quite quick.
Yeah, a lovely little volley.
Yeah.
He played really well.
And he only
really
on the pitch as well.
I thought Mignolet should have done better with that Kabaye goal. It came from a long way out, didn't it?
It was hit with some real force, though.
Bounced.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a nightmare to deal with. It had that look to it where, you know, the ball doesn't spin.
in the air. It's incredible. I don't know. I don't think my foot has the bits that do that.
Well, I think
I can confirm that, Jim.
I think I've underestimated professional goalkeepers. You said, oh, it was a tricky one. I just went bounced. I mean, really, if that was a problem.
Yeah. Someone had kicked it at him.
Thinking about that, Martin, the ball does bounce a lot in a game.
It does. Yeah. Maybe that's why the keepers are kept at one end.
It might be unfair, but I generally tend to think if a goalkeeper's got that much time, he hit it well, of course, but when a goalkeeper's got that much time to react and he's not unsighted, I mean, I'll tell you something, there was a couple of amazing saves in the Premier League this week.
We'll come on to Norwich in a minute.
I forget one, but yeah, it might have been Ruddy.
We'll come on to Boric, yeah. And Ruddy were probably the two standout.
It was Boric, and it was a strike from really close range, and he palmed it over the bar, and he had a third of the time that Mignolet had to react to that Kabaye goal, and there's no way it was hit any harder. I think he might have slipped a little bit. I just think he could have done a bit better.
Yeah, it was nice to see at St James's that Stephen Gerrard's name was applauded when it was read out during the team sheets. It's a little nod to England and his wonderful performance.
And his 100th Premier League goal as well.
Well, I don't think they would have celebrated that. No. Oh, brilliant. They've equalised or whatever.
I'm bloody pleased that came against us.
I mean, also, it hadn't happened yet.
So. Yeah, that's true. They just thought it's bound to happen against us.
They're a very knowledgeable football crowd, though.
Yeah, they call them the prophets.
Yeah,
they're the jewellery fans.
They also applauded him when he went down for a corner, because I guess Newcastle fans haven't really seen that many goals scored from corners. They might score from this. We might see a goal.
Nice. Yeah. Well done, the Geordie nation.
See some action. The Geordie people.
Yeah, Sturridge equalised. And Newcastle, they held on, so it was a good result.
Yeah, it was a good result. Well, it had to be after the 6-0 drubbing they got last season.
But they were down to 10 men for over half the game.
Yeah, strong.
Arsenal, Jim.
Oh,
4-1 against Norwich. It's easy peasy.
I was at the game. It was just absolutely beautiful. That Jack Wilshere goal that everyone's raving about. I mean, it's one of the best goals I've ever seen Arsenal score. It's beautiful. Hope we can keep it up.
It was a lovely one, wasn't it?
And the Aaron Ramsey goals. Well, I mean, in the stadium, obviously the Wilshere goal was amazing, but it was so intricate. It was hard to actually see everything that happened at the time. But the Ramsey goal, because it was a solo effort, was just the place erupted. I mean, there were people cheering and everything.
The pass in the middle of the Wilshere goal, was it a little bit fortunate that he managed to get that back to...
Possibly.
I don't know. He clearly meant to do it, though.
Yeah, but it was clearly steady. Yeah.
Which one, the Wilshere goal?
Yeah.
That was glorious.
I happen to think that Aaron Ramsey's goal won't get the credit it deserves because it was in the same game as that.
Absolutely. And the fourth goal was brilliant as well. Mm. And to Ozil, he had very quiet patches in the game, but just, he seemed to find second wind, and it really sort of brought the team forward. And he scored 3 goals for Arsenal. I've been at the stadium every time. Not saying it's related, but if anyone from Arsenal listening, probably just give me a season ticket, just to be on the safe side.
They're in rude health at the moment, Arsenal. They're playing so well. Yeah. The confidence they've got seeing through their team, and players like Ramsey, the way Ramsey took his goal, it's just a goal from a player at the very height of his confidence, which is so encouraging.
What about the way Flamini took his headbutt?
Yeah, I mean, he's out of the Dortmund game because of that. I mean, Flamini is crucial. He's an absolute soldier. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. And I mean, his addition, it's because he can play in so many positions, has really added to the squad depth. Also, trimming some of the sort of less effective players has worked really well, and maybe hasn't been credited enough. And I think one thing that's interesting about the performance as well is obviously you've got Theo Walcott missing, you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain missing, Gnabry's probably a bit raw to be using too often at the moment, so there's a real lack of natural wingers in the team.
Podolski's played widely.
Yeah, exactly. And they're playing very well without the option of that. It was quite Diaby's had another setback. It's a real shame. But they played in a very narrow way because they were kind of forced to a degree, but still played very well. And actually, not to take anything away from Norwich, because there were points where it looked like they were really going to get back into the game. They were controlling it for quite a while.
But, I just think the way Arsenal are, it's funny, isn't it, when everyone's saying Arsenal need a centre-back or another centre-forward or a stern midfielder.
Yeah,
who does he go and buy? A creative, intricate player.
Yeah,
which of that type they've already got. But actually, flooding the midfield with lots of those players seems to be working a charm
as well. So they're moving around. I mean, it was perhaps a sort of a concern that Cazorla and Ozil were too similar, but because of the way they move around in that midfield, it almost doesn't matter. And Cazorla looked like a player that's been out for a little while.
But it's hard.
Even so, he was involved in two of the games. So the best is yet to come for him, and he still started very well. So, goals,
but
of course.
Games.
I mean, feel free to go back to the one podcast we did before the season started and see what Jim was saying. Jim's very happy man
at the moment.
I
cannot believe it.
But since the first day of the season, it's been absolutely fantastic for us.
That guy who went absolutely mad on Arsenal Fan TV
after
the first game, he was wheeled out again by... for the BBC, maybe. And he was... He basically looked a little bit sheepish.
Yeah. Well, no, because at the time, that was fair comment, was it not?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it was a very worrying time. But, and at the same time, you know, the season's quite young. We've got a very tough run of games coming up. We've seen before Arsenal have, you know, good starts. Not as bright and as positive as this, and then have a tough run in and, you know, things start to go a bit shaky.
It's a big go. Look at Chelsea, Liverpool, Dortmund.
And United. And that's two Dortmund games as well that sandwich those. So, like, it's important to get a good result in that run early, just to keep that confidence going.
Oh, they play Palace as well, don't they?
Yeah, but that's after the first Dortmund game.
But one of the good things for Arsenal is that they've had a slightly lighter run in, not completely. I mean, Napoli at home is a tough game, and with one or two others, but
especially working Pybury Corner.
Yeah, you know, you grow into the season. But what I was going to say about that. The dynamic midfield that they have is, if you're an opposition manager, how do you set up against them? Because it's quite tricky. If they've got Walcott on one side, and you kind of know what he's going to do, but if they are floating around, it's very difficult to defend against.
What is very encouraging as well is losing such a huge aspect of the game with the wide players not out, and just knowing that they can cope with that. So it's, you know,
well, the way you set up against Arsenal is the way West Brom set up to get that draw. You just crowd the space and stop them playing. I mean, they stopped Ozil pretty effectively in that 1-1 draw.
But it looked like Norwich were trying to do that, but then Arsenal scored quite early, so they just had to come out. And they did well when they came out, but eventually
a decent enough team to be able to do it, for sure, yeah.
And it's been a long... I mean, this used to be the way to play against Arsenal. It's been a long time that's been as effective as that. I'm a bit worried about the Napoli return leg, because I know for a fact that it's going to be 2-0 to Napoli and that Higuain's going to score both, because a Napoli fan on the tube told me that in a very, very threatening manner.
So you've got to do everything in your power to make that happen.
Apparently,
or you're
so
dead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Does he know where you've moved to?
I hope not. Yeah. See, again, this is why
I
don't want to know.
Get in touch.
I'm pretty sure I did. I hired him, actually. In another part of the country, Manchester United drew 1-1 with Southampton. And for a while, it looked like the Manchester United of old. They were creating a lot. They went 1-0 up. They looked comfortable. They looked dominant. But they didn't take the chances. I mean, partly because Arthur Boric had a wonderful afternoon, but they were slightly sloppy, and then Southampton right at the end got the equaliser.
I mean, Boric was essentially the difference, because he missed the game against England with a little niggle, didn't he? And it was touch and go about whether he'd be back or not. And I think a lot of Southampton fans felt that with Davis as the backup, who's not in the same class as Boric, they'd probably struggle. And he actually was the difference. I mean, I firmly believe that if he wasn't in goal, they'd have lost that game. So he's massively important to them. And the fact that their success so far, and they've done really well so far, is predicated on them not conceding.
Because
they don't score an awful lot, do they?
Well, they've scored 8 in 8, but only conceded 3.
Which I think is the second best in Europe behind only Roma.
Wow. What, just with goals conceded?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think they've got the second best league defence in Europe. Well, they certainly did have last week. Roma, I think, have conceded just the one goal so far, which is incredible as well. But the difference was Boric, but also this sort of thing that people are talking about, which I subscribe to at the moment, is this sort of lack of fear factor around playing United. It just doesn't seem to be.
But it's mentioned in the last five, as well, when historically Manchester United would always score a goal, come up at the end, and you know, come up with the goods.
It was funny because you're right, and in that game, the fourth official held up the board. And it was 5 minutes, and I thought this could be the moment. where they win the game in injury time, and everyone's like big let out of sigh of relief, and they really kick on. But it wasn't to be.
Well, but they shouldn't have had to score a goal in injury time, because they were so dominant. They actually played quite nice attacking football. And on another day, Manchester United would have won 3 or 4.
And
what I would say is that it sounds like I'm being slightly patronised to Manchester United fans. It's a bit of hope, guys, you know. But, Southampton have only conceded 3 goals this season. And so for Manchester United to create so many chances against them, like I say, if it wasn't for Boric playing the game of his life, on another day they would have hammered them.
Yeah, you're right. And you can that's true, but we can talk about that all we like. But the end of the result is that they drew the game. They didn't win it. And it's another home game. They've not won.
There is a skill to put in a difficult game away, which they just do not seem to have at the moment.
Indeed. And the next games they've got coming up, they're at home to Sociedad in the Champions League. And they've got 2 more league home games. I think they're playing at home to Stoke and at home to Norwich.
Yeah.
Then they go away to Fulham. So the next 4 games, really important.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting to the point now. I know it's only sort of the end of October, middle of October. They're going to be so, if they don't win those games, they're all winnable games. If they don't win them, they're going to be so far off the pace, just on not only on points, but by virtue of the fact they would have played quite a lot of winnable games already and not won them.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, look at their results. They lost at home to West Brom. They've drawn at home to Southampton. You know, so there are already games that they're playing that they should have won. Mm. They're the sort of games under Ferguson. And it's difficult for Moyes, of course it is, but they're the sort of games when it comes to Manchester United where you go 3 points, three
yeah,
points.
Yeah, but
three
Southampton's points. Slightly different. I mean, they're sixth, just 4 points off the top.
No, I understand that, Marcus, but Man United want to win the league. Their ambition is to win the league.
They are.
You cannot win the league and not win those games.
They're buggering up accumulators everywhere.
Mm. We're the real losers here. Yeah, accumulators.
I would stay well away from them. Or stay well away from gambling is my real advice.
Apart from your pound a week.
Which I never put on.
Nah.
Never put
people
on.
People have been asking about that.
Actually. Yeah, well, if you want to sponsor me,
fuck them.
If you want to give me the pound, then I'll put it on.
If I was going to gamble, I'd choose Paddy Power. What's that, Paddy?
Jim, say something.
When the result came through, obviously I was at the Arsenal game, it did have all the hallmarks of, oh, United have been a bit insipid again. But as you say, watching the highlights, it was clearly they did create a lot of chances. It did look like the United of old. So I think with that in mind, they will still take some heart from that performance. Mm. It's gutting to lose a goal that late. So, they do need to turn a corner quickly, but I think it's in there.
Yeah.
Creating chances has only ever been half the story, though. You're not going to win the league by
But when you've got
chances.
Players like Van Persie and Rooney, surely it's just a matter of time before they start putting them away.
Yeah, well, we'll see, I suppose. Yeah, like I say, four games coming up were really important for them because it also gave them the confidence to go and play these bigger games. You know, we talked about it at the time, the manner in which they were beaten by Liverpool, for example, and it wasn't just that they lost, it was how they lost. Mm. And they really need to start building their confidence up, and the only way they can do that is by winning games.
Well, but as I said, yeah, you're right, but they did look as though they have a bit of confidence against Southampton, so we shall see what they come up with in the coming weeks.
Well, next time, Sociedad, big European game, and then they're at home to Stoke, which they've got to win. They've just simply got to win it.
In the coming weeks.
Yeah.
just before we leave England, did you see old Steve McLaren? McClazer's derby, winning 3-2 at Watford.
Big result.
It's an immediate impact. And I suddenly thought, any man who spent that amount of time with a certain Swede is going to be able to...
Hey, which Swede are you talking about?
Hey?
Ulrika?
Yeah. Well, she may have been in the background.
Quick word for the Super Portsmouth on the south coast?
Go on.
Well, they won again at the weekend, didn't they?
Did they?
Beat Bury at home.
Uh-huh.
Comfortably. And that is like four games without losing.
Without calamity.
Without. Well, I wouldn't say that.
It's good.
Four games unbeaten. Yeah. Yes. It's pleasing.
It is very pleasing to everyone.
For everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just not Bury.
We're going to leave these shores and go to La Liga.
I told a friend of mine who's not from England that Portsmouth beat Bury, and they said, I've never heard of Bury. that's put it in perspective.
Have we? Are we not going to talk about the Flair controversy?
Well, it's not very nice, is it?
No, it's not.
Anyone?
What,
any
do, you
more
think,
for
what do you think the appropriate punishment should be, Pete?
More flares.
I think someone should chuck a flare at that guy.
Yeah, the linesman. At half time really, in the next game.
He gets to.
Johnny Barrett on Twitter says flares shouldn't be banned because they hit a line, or they should be banned because they make 15-year-olds from Warsaw think they're Napoli ultras.
Yeah.
Which I really hate.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. My take on it is when you start allowing flares into games, where does it stop? You know, before you know it, you've got perms.
Herring ties.
Herring ties.
I thought we were going to get through that.
No. I just think Spurs need to start playing with a bit more flair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. La Liga. Osasuna 0, Barcelona 0.
Mm.
What on earth? The first side, Osasuna, of course, in nearly 2 years to keep a clean sheet in La Liga against Barcelona. The first time Barcelona has failed to score in a domestic league game in 65 matches.
That's an amazing stat.
It really is.
Haven't Osasuna been on the end of some absolute spankings from Barcelona before?
In their history, they have, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an
outstanding. Was it Osasuna they beat 8-1 away from home?
You might be something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Not this time, baby.
Osasuna have turned a corner.
They have. They've turned all the corners.
I bet they looked at the fixture list and went, Osasuna? I can't play them now. Osasuna?
Yeah, you didn't have to qualify. I got it.
Well, Marcus did, and Jim was just looking at you. I got what you were laughing at.
Did my laughter not clarify that?
No.
You really are off the ball today, aren't you? You silly little sod.
Jet-lagged man.
Yeah, I am.
Where were we? Osasuna, Barcelona. Barcelona, yeah, not scored for flipping ages.
That
is ages for them, isn't it?
Yeah. And obviously, when they played earlier on in the season, when they won 4-0 away, I forget who to, it was the first time, goodness knows how long, that they had hadn't had more possession than the opposition.
Yeah. It was 4-1, wasn't it? Against might have been
I think
against
it was 4-0.
Oh, was it? Okay. Right.
So I mean, I know that Gerardo is trying out different things and having making a plan B, and because obviously Guardiola, we know how he plays, and one of the things that Piqué was saying, which I mentioned a few weeks ago, is that it's quite good that Barcelona will be able to set up in different ways and be a little bit more robust when they need to and all that kind of stuff. But some of these runs are coming to an end. It's changing times at Barcelona. Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure of it. I think he should be sacked.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, get Paolo in. Quick kick up the arse.
Yeah.
Or De Canio.
Yeah,
it's a terrible idea. Real Madrid, they made ground on the top two because Atleti lost 1-0 away to Espanyol, but Real Madrid beat Malaga 2-0. Gareth Bale won a penalty.
Well, I didn't actually see it. Was it a dive?
I think that's less of a deal than your shriek.
Pete, did you hear about that in Japan?
What?
Gareth Bale winning a penalty?
I did hear about that in Japan.
Do you
yes.
see?
Yeah, that's true.
Japan right, is like miles away.
Loads of miles away. It struck me that, you know, Madrid have got this sort of cartoon font for their
name
on their shirts.
Yeah. Yes.
I think they might actually be turning into a cartoon, and that is just the first manifestation of that. Mm.
Right, you could argue they've turned to a cartoon a long time ago.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. But I think we're actually going to start seeing physical evidence of that now.
Manga, massive manga haircuts. I see that.
We're going to go to Serie A.
That's our tactical analysis of the Madrid game out of the way there.
Well, we've got a lot to get through.
That's true.
I didn't even watch it, so no. I can't tactically analyze it.
But the point, of course, was the Barcelona with the draw, but it was worth mentioning.
All
that
these matches were on at like 4 o'clock in the morning for me, so yeah. I was never going to watch them live.
You're normally up at that time.
Yeah, that's true.
You're still out at that time.
You crazy.
You just call it as it was. You were just hammered. Were you drunk?
I was hammered.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
We're all friends.
We're going to be hearing about his time and just...
There's nothing to tell.
There is. Serie A, Roma 2, Napoli 0. Pjanic double seals the win. Roma, wonderful start to the season, as we talked about. And on they go, and against Napoli as well, who, with the other team, who are posing the most likely threat to their title push. Roma for the title. Wouldn't it be great?
It would be lovely.
Really would be great. Maradona was in the stands.
I don't understand how this happened, because apparently he's wanted for tax still.
Yeah, it's 30,
so how did he get in there?
Because
he's talking about becoming Napoli manager after Benitez, which again is nonsense. But he owes like 39 million euros. So how is he getting into Italy, getting to football games, being able to spout off in the press and not getting arrested?
Well, he took his hearing last, don't
he? Yeah, that he signed something, some sort of... So whatever money he owes, he makes in Italy or something like that, just goes straight to the... Into the pot.
So
then
really
how can he manage Napoli?
Exactly.
Pay him a lot.
Yeah.
How can he afford a hot dog? If he's minus 15 million quid or whatever.
I think someone probably bought one for him. Maradona said Mario Balotelli sent him a picture of himself smoking a Cuban cigar.
Odd.
Which he quite liked. And he also had time to say, had a pop at the FIFA director saying they're all over 95 years old. They are so old they cannot even drive a car. So how can they lead the world of football?
They don't need to,
they're chauffeured.
Yeah, they are chauffeurs, to be fair.
That is true.
Maybe it's the chauffeurs doing all the real work in football.
to be fair to Maradona, I mean, he's not involved as much now, but João Havelange is 97.
Mm.
And he's still around. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Just retire?
Yeah.
Are you having a go at him for being alive?
No, I'm just
saying. We are.
Just backing up El
and
Diego.
And he's still around.
I'm just backing up El Diego's
but
point.
He's not involved anymore.
Well, isn't he, though?
It's a bit embarrassing now, isn't it? It's a bit embarrassing him just hanging around.
Putting the strings. I told you, the reason he's still alive is because he's probably been fed on, like, FIFA monkey embryos. Yeah.
And also, I imagine, sort of, you know, the organs of you
children.
Know, poorer chaps and children are used to replace any of his failing ones.
Yeah. It's probably not even him anymore.
No,
it's like Trigger's broom.
He'll find another host body before long anyway.
He'll be pumped into a promising youngster like Messi.
Oh, dear. Yeah. The views of Luke Moore and Jim Campbell, not the football ramble there.
Yeah.
Although half of it. I just don't want to get involved in the courts.
You just don't want João Havelange to take you as a host.
Yeah, that would be terrifying. Yeah, there would be a few ghost goals, wouldn't there?
I mean, I'm not having a pop at him because he is 97, but he's quite a terrifying looking bloke.
Well, and he's also...
I'm not having a pop at him.
No, well, you can have a pop at some of the dodgy stuff he's allegedly... Almost definitely done.
probably best leave that alone.
I think technically you can't, Marcus. That's how the law works.
Yeah. Anyway, elsewhere in Italy, I think that's where we were. Fiorentina beat Juventus 4-2.
That was magnificent. Wasn't it? 2-0 down.
The old lady. They were 2-0 up at half-time, and then Fiorentina stage a stunning second half.
I
a Rossi hat-trick?
It was. I tried to have a little dig at Buffon after the Italy-Denmark game, and you guys wouldn't let me.
Why, what were you saying? Remind me.
I thought that...
Oh, because Bentner scored two goals.
Yeah, but they
them.
Were quite soft headers. Mm. And there was a goal... That,
he got worse this week.
Yeah, the goal Rossi scored to make it 2-0, I think. Buffon was very suspect.
How old
very
is Buffon suspect. Now?
Oh, he's not that old. He's like 35.
Not,
like,
not yet.
He's not that old. He's just been around for ages.
It feels to me like still he's been around. 35 for about 10 years.
João Havelange. He's got his hands, he's got his fingerprints all over it.
This guy's keeping gloves all over it.
No, Buffon's not, he's not that old. He's just been around for ages.
Well, he's 35, 36.
I think he's 35, yeah.
It's not that young, is it?
No, but I mean...
No, for a goalkeeper.
He's got a reputation.
Not everybody's David James.
He's got one of the... Reputation as being one of the world's best goalkeepers, yes. In my view, generally, quite fairly.
Yeah.
But I think he's, from what I've seen over the last few weeks, he's not been that great. And he was at fault for that goal, and it was a big goal.
Goalkeeping doesn't work the same way as acting, does it? You know, if an actor does a poor film, you think, oh, but he was in X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
the goalkeeper cut. Yeah. Yeah, but do you remember me at 2006 World Cup?
Yeah.
Do you remember
to,
me?
He needs to pick his projects more carefully.
One of the goals that Fiorentina scored might have been the third or fourth Whacking. One. With Cuadrado broke from defending a corner so fast.
Oh, yeah, that was
the fastest breakaway goals.
I think that was
seen.
The fourth. I think it was
Colombian fella, Cuadrado, yeah, it's so good, so See impressive.
Him. Yes. So, that rounds up the club football
Can we just nip off to France before we round up the club football?
Okay.
About Big Zlats.
Well, I was going to give him a mention when we talk about the playoffs, Jim.
Ah,
once
enough.
Again, I've got a plan. Let me execute it.
Marcus, it's just that I don't trust you.
Yeah.
You didn't say that earlier.
You've been found at fault earlier on.
In fairness to us, Marcus, we're not used to you having a plan. So this is all new to us.
Marcus. No. You're not used to trusting me with my plan.
We fear your methods because we don't understand your methods.
It is a question of trust.
Your back three's lost respect for you.
Yeah. You've lost the dressing room, mate.
Ah, oh, well, let me get it back again. Let's move on to international football. England have qualified!
Yeah!
England.
And it was never in doubt.
Should we just make noises for the next 5 minutes?
For the next 5 months, I thought you were going to say. until we lift the cup in Brazil. Talking to people with plans, Roy Hodgson. Now, you look at the last four games that England had to play. Away to Ukraine, home to Moldova, away to Ukraine, and obviously the two home games, Montenegro and Poland. Now, England were in not a brilliant position, but they were in a decent enough position to have the fate still in their own hands. They'd gone away and drawn drawn at home against Ukraine, mm-hmm. where Ukraine scored a fabulous goal out of nothing and then played very well. And England, I thought, were good value for the point. And another day, maybe would have taken one or two. Those kind of results can happen. And Ukraine are a decent side. They went away to Poland when the game was called off. Mm. So, again, a tricky place to go. And it's not a terrible point, is it? The manner of the performance was a bit disappointing.
But it was a very difficult situation for them.
Exactly. And then they went away to Montenegro, bossed the first half, and then again the manner of the second half, the way they lost the goal, was a little bit disappointing. So that kind of qualification campaign, that kind of series of results, it's not too bad when you look at it like that. So you go into the last four games, you think, at home against Moldova, we'll win, and he thinks, well, I fancy the two home games as well. If we get a point away to Ukraine, then we're good as gold. Mm. So clearly that's what his plan was. So again, you beat Moldova, go away to Ukraine, people criticise, and we did criticise as well, and I was a little bit worried about Hodgson because of the way England were playing. Mm. And then he thinks, right, these are the two home games, this is how I've set it up, and he had his plan and he executed it, did he not?
Yes, he did. And I think really he's been unfairly criticised around the Ukraine game particularly. But I think you've also got to put into perspective that England's record is actually very good when you compare it to a lot of the other European nations. I think it's the second or third best attack in Europe and the second or third best defence in Europe, maybe during
That's
the second.
Right, yeah.
They also have had a situation where it's the manager's first qualification campaign. He came in for the job at quite a difficult time, just before a big tournament. Mm. He just did the best he could, got a fair amount of stick for that as well. And then he's guided England to an undefeated campaign against, the fourth place team in England's group got 13 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not terrible.
I mean, well, you know, only Germany and the Dutch scored more than England. And you can say, well, England had San Marino, but Germany had Faroe Islands and Kazakhstan, who only had 5 points.
England had some shitty players at times.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And we're not as good as them. More to the point, Holland had Andorra and Estonia, who picked up 7 points. I think the only problem was that England drew four games, and they didn't have... There was a handful of teams who had a higher points tally. But, like I say, when you map it out and you look like that... Because we only see international football, really... for those two games when they're on, and then we're off looking at the Premier League and La Liga and all that sort of stuff. As Hodgson sees the whole thing, I'm trying to give him as much credit as possible because I'm hoping that was his plan.
He should be allowed maximum credit. He had a job to do. He did it. He's qualified. You know,
we enjoyed the last two games.
Well, England played with real freedom against Poland.
I mean, there was a nervy bit. There was a nervy bit in the second half for quite a long period. But is that not understandable?
Yeah, I'd like to see England playing that way in general because. I understand why he set up the way he set up against Ukraine. There's a lot at stake. For me, I would prefer England to play with a bit of panache purely because we're not expected to win a tournament. So you go, even if you're playing against... I mean, for example, we got knocked out of the last World Cup by Germany 4-1.
Yeah.
There's nothing really to say that England would have lost by any more goals if they had gone out there and really given it a go. And what you take on board in return for going, even against a team like Poland, who've still got some world-class football players, you go out there, you set yourself up to really have a go at them. You'll get caught sometimes. It's just the way football is. Yeah. You know, Lewandowski's a great player. Yeah. If Lewandowski was on the form he was on when he played against Real Madrid in the Champions League, where he scored four for Dortmund, England could have lost that game. But you've got to take your chances against players like that, you know.
But I think it's nice to see England actually, as you say, take the game to somebody. And does that not... And people say... And I'm one of them. So you really have to play with three central midfielders at international level.
Yeah.
And so the thought of Rooney and Sturridge, and you maybe have Gerrard and perhaps Carrick back there, and you think, is there enough steel? We don't have perhaps a Flamini winning the ball back and blah blah blah. But then you think to yourself, well, let's try and impose our game on them.
Yeah. The problem England have, especially with those two games when it's a big night and the stakes are high, is England have a thing that a lot of other countries don't have. Now, I'm not suggesting England are better than Spain, for example, but Spain don't have a traditional home of football where they play. They haven't got a home stadium. They travel around. England, everyone wants to play at Wembley. Mm. You know, so when Poland come to Wembley with 17, 18,000 fans behind them, they really want to go for it. You know, and so it's harder for England because it's almost like a cup final to play. Do you know what I mean? So it's very difficult.
Mm. I just think in those matches, you know, we were never realistically ever going to be seeded. So we're always going to come up against... We're always going to come unstuck against a Germany or possibly an Italy... Or even Belgium, to be honest, in the actual World Cup final. So you may as well just go, let's just play as attractive as football as we can, you know, try and just get a little bit of pride back.
I think that's it. The pride was dented so much at 2010.
Yeah.
And obviously 2012 in the Euros, it was just damage and limitation, wasn't it?
The last couple of tournaments, I think we've overachieved the players we've had, to be quite frank.
Yeah. Quite possibly, but it was enjoyable to see England playing with a bit of flair, creating chances, and obviously Townsend's been a revelation, lately, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think if you've got a player like that, you can run at players with a lot of confidence. He seems like a nice chap as well, so he's pretty grounded. In his Man of the Match interview after the Villa game at the weekend, he seemed pretty switched on.
Yeah.
I was speaking to a friend of mine actually this week who's plays non-league, and he's played against Townsend a few times. And said he's quite well known as being a pretty switched on, quite focused, not at all. He won't let it get to him. You know, there's the question marks around sort of Ravel Morrison, whether he's going to let it get to his head. He said Townsend's so focused, so grounded, he can see why he's going to go on and achieve a lot of things, you know.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good to hear.
I look forward to him getting an injured just before a major tournament. Oh, great white hope.
Yeah. It's a qualified from Spain, Holland, Germany, Russia, Switzerland, Italy, Belgium, England, and Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Yeah,
that's wonderful, isn't it?
I had some money on Bosnia ages ago to win it. To win the World Cup.
Really?
300-1, yeah.
Oof.
They've qualified now. They're in the hat.
But it really is great. And unless Croatia go through the playoffs, they'll be the only team from the Balkans region.
Yeah.
Which would be
like the fact that Iceland have drawn Croatia, because I think they could win that.
Well, we look at the playoffs and Iceland have drawn Croatia and it would be remarkable. They are the most overachieving nation when it comes to football.
It's a very small population, as we've said many times.
It's like 320,000.
Bjork's made a couple of squads. There's that few players. It's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, well, we're Team Iceland in that one. Portugal have got Sweden. Cristiano Ronaldo or Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Yeah, it's disappointing that.
We'll be missing out.
Yeah, but you'd imagine that Cristiano Ronaldo will go to another World Cup, so...
You're thinking Zlatan. Yeah, but Zlatan is probably...
Zlatan's 31.
It's such a shame.
Well, Sweden have basically... I mean, if you put it down to how they've got to this stage, so how Sweden and Portugal have got to this stage, Sweden really deserve to be there. Because Portugal have had a terrible campaign. Portugal had a very winnable group, and Sweden had Germany in their group.
Yeah. Mm.
So Sweden did what really could be expected of them.
So you fancy the Swedes, do you?
No, I'm just saying, if you were going to dish it out on fairness, I'd send Sweden.
Which has never, never, ever been... No, yeah. Did you see that phantom goal at the weekend? And Ukraine have got France. France will be... They'll be fine.
I mean, France have really hit form, haven't they?
But so, it would be great to see Ukraine go through, because they had a great campaign. We only just pipped them by 1 point.
Denmark missed out, didn't they, from being the worst second place?
That's a shame, because I really like Denmark, and they've got some good players. But that Aquilani goal, the equaliser, against Italy was the
real. Yeah, because they would have been in there instead of Croatia, I think.
They would have been. And Greece versus Romania. It'd be nice to see Romania back
Give that one a miss.
No, we'd not see Romania back at the World Cup, would it?
Greece are the most boring team.
I get the Romanians back in. And Mutu, he's probably still kicking.
It's around about this time when the playoffs happen, I just think, can't they all just come in? Yeah. Can't we just extend it a bit?
That's what, well, get. I'll tell you what. Make the World Cup so every single team registered by FIFA is in.
Yeah.
So you have 200-odd teams separated by how many groups of four, and just play it all year round. But I tell you, last week when it was international break, we did this show, I ended up going home thinking, I wish it was international football every week in the Premier League break.
Yeah.
The other way around.
I agree with you. I agree. So does David Moyes.
I've only got to play three games a season.
Where else are we going with this? Who knows? Who knows? But we mentioned France. That's right. We mentioned Ibrahimovic.
What about the African?
Come on, there was a sec. Yeah. Stick with the plan.
He's got a plan.
What about Ibrahimovic's goal for PSG against Bastia?
Another karate goal. We've spoken about Zlatan's ability to do these really sort of kung fu style goals, and he's done it again.
That's his best
magnificent.
One of that ilk.
Two reasons I love it so much. One is because it's not even on the radar for 99% of players to even attempt it, let alone better pull it off. And secondly, because I saw a video of him on the PSG website, and he was speaking in English, actually, bizarrely enough. And what they do is they get sometimes PSG get players to watch their own goals back on an iPad and talk through it.
Right.
And it's quite interesting. Obviously, Zlatan's was very funny. He ended it by saying, it's a beautiful goal. But at the end of the day, I've got loads of beautiful goals to call upon.
Almost as if they're special moves that you can break out at any time.
When I'm not with a lady.
Or when I am.
Which is rare.
Goal bank. Zlatan's goal bank.
His header as well, he just made it look easy.
Cavani scored a great one.
Oh, God, that was beautiful. It was almost like anything you can do, I can also do as well.
Yeah nearly.
Oh, and Havrenard's Sochaux, the bottom of the league. They took over.
The palpable disappointment that you have to say that.
No, they were already bottom of the league. That's why they got the big man in. 2-0 down to Monaco, high fly Monaco, 2-2.
And are they bottom of the league still?
2-2. Well, only a point. But 2-0 down to Monaco. Mm. Tell you what. He's wearing the white shirt.
Yeah.
Wearing the white shirt.
Yes, he is.
Now we can go to Africa, where Havrenard used to reside. The second legs haven't been played, but Ghana will surely be there. They beat Egypt 6-1. Egypt hate tournament football outside of Africa and excluding the South Africa World Cup.
Yeah. I can remember, I think it might be someone on this show. I hope not. I don't want to find out. One of us said when Bob Bradley got the Egypt job, he'll get them well organised. And they got beat 6-1. So.
Shame, really. Especially what's going on in the country. It would have been nice for them to. Yeah. But I love Ghana. So.
It's not over yet, though. Get police machine involved.
That's it.
Sadly, a police machine did become involved.
Moving on swiftly. North and Central America. Now, Panama. This, to me, ranks up there with Cape Verde. On my level of guttedness. I was in Panama in June for a marvellous holiday, and I was in Panama City when they played Mexico at home and they drew 0-0, and I've never seen a team so well supported. Everywhere people were wearing the home jersey. People were absolutely loving it. They had TVs out in the alleyways and all this sort of stuff, people watching it. They were going mad for it. They've never qualified for a World Cup. They were 2-1 up against the United States, and Mexico lost to Costa Rica 2-1. And Mexico have had a shocking group, and they don't deserve that last playoff spot against New Zealand. And Panama, with 90 seconds to go, switched off, and the Americans scored two goals. And Panama.
Credit to the USA for keep on going, because they're already through.
Did you hear that commentator, the Mexican commentator?
It was the equivalent he's the equivalent of like Clive Tilsley in Mexico. He's like frontline commentator.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I saw a transcript of it translated. He was,
Tilsley will love that.
He was saying, you have done nothing to earn this, the boys in green, to Mexico. Yeah. You owe all to the boys in white. You are not a team. You've done nothing for this country. Yeah. Going absolutely post about them for a good couple of minutes. Because, and it was even more crazy because he was trying to commentate in Spanish, obviously because he's Mexican, on both the games. So they were showing both the games. Mm. So he was doing flipping between commentary for the USA game and the Mexico game. And I think he just lost it at the end. The emotion just overcame him.
But he was just like, we love you, America, and all this sort of stuff. I mean, I tell you what.
Adios, you need us. Like
but, if anybody's listening from America, that will do your country.
Oh, yeah.
The relations between Mexico and the United States will be at an all-time high and will be for many a year because of that. Seriously, like, that's just the way it works in football, you know? But yeah, I was just so gutting for Panama. And they would have had a real chance, you know, playing New Zealand. No disrespect to New Zealand, but, I mean, but you know, both sides could.
Well, if you can mix it in that qualification group, you can mix it against New Zealand. There's no question.
And they're such a great bunch of people, the Panamanians as well. Mm. There we are. But New Zealand will play Mexico, and the US, Honduras, and Costa Rica through from that region, and also in South America, as we said before, Uruguay will play Jordan in a playoff.
Oh, it's all exciting, isn't it? I can't wait.
It really is. But
we literally do have to wait now.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Presuming Uruguay beat Jordan, England won't be drawn with Holland. Or Italy, or Portugal, or France, or Sweden.
Who can we get then?
Switzerland would probably. I mean, no disrespect to the Swiss, but you'd rather the Swiss than say Brazil, Spain, Argentina, Germany, Belgium.
Switzerland beat Spain last World Cup, didn't they?
They did.
Could have beaten them by two. Dirty got hit the post.
You have to look at that tournament as a whole, though, to see which was the better side.
No, I'm not doing that.
Elsewhere in international football, the Belgians drew 1-1 with Wales. Craig Bellamy played his last game for Wales, assisted the equaliser.
Randy again.
Good point for the Welsh, yeah. Harry Wilson became the youngest player to have represented Wales and earned his grandfather $125,000 in the process.
A brilliant story.
There's a bet for you.
Am I the only one who thinks it's a bit dodgy?
Well, I thought maybe if it was the grandfather put £50 on his grandson when he was a toddler that he would play for Wales. And he must have looked at the odds and worked it out. And if I had him, I'd have sort of, oi, Coleman, come here.
Yeah, because
I'll give you £20,000, mate.
Because Harry Wilson's never played a professional football game.
Yeah.
He's at Liverpool's academy.
It did occur to me that.
He's never been on loan or anything.
Mm.
And so you wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't like to cast aspersions on any of the character of anyone involved.
But neither would our solicitors.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Coleman's got to keep picking him.
I've got nothing more to add. I think I've said enough.
I think you have. Edwards, though.
But it wasn't now called Platinum Man, suddenly.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny, that, isn't it?
It was a nice story, though.
Peter Edwards, the grandfather.
I heard him interviewed on Five Live, and it was a very touching story.
He retired immediately.
Yeah, he was so chuffed.
Yeah.
It touched me all the way to the bank, etc.
I've got a guy, Chris Coleman's on the phone.
Yeah, a couple of other bits from the internationals. Gianpaolo Mazza has resigned as San Marino manager after 15 years at the helm. God. Europe's longest-serving manager.
Patient of
international football.
Patience of a saint.
A win ratio of 1.2%.
What, one win?
Yeah, one win in 85 matches and just a single point in 76 competitive games.
They beat Liechtenstein in the friendly, didn't they?
There's some wonder. I did love what he said. He said, the regret is that we never won an official game, but I am proud that we never used a naturalised player. Have that, England and Yana's eye and all the rest of it. I do quite like that. But yeah, so poor old San Marino, they'll be.
So would he have been manager when Massimo Bonini played, the famous San Marino player?
Who?
He's played in Serie A for years. Probably not, actually.
I'm not sure. I'm not bloody sure. Mm. And Colombia. What have I got here? We're going to South America.
Oh,
former Colombia star, Tino Asprey, has been offered a short-term contract to become a porn star.
Yeah, apparently so.
Pete, you're probably most qualified to answer this, having starred in a couple. Having had a few cameos yourself. And
yeah. I've never seen his. Apparently he's got a big future
penis.
In the penis. He's got a big penis.
Well, I did like the open letter. Yeah.
The letter was a very nice.
The
ego
open
massage.
Letters are all the rage at the moment.
This is for an ego massage.
The adult film company. Not adult, adult. It makes the word sound a bit more naughty. Dear Faustino Spria, it's a traditional start.
Show us your willy.
I'll praise you through this. We are convinced that the lifestyle you lead and the media controversy it causes is vital. So we dared to make the proposal. We are convinced that with a little training, you could exploit another talent all of Colombia knows you have. They all know, Jim.
Yeah.
They all know.
They all know.
Any response from Faustino?
No, I don't think so.
This all came from Steve Harper's testimonial. I'm sure this renewed interest in the man.
I think Doncaster are still waiting for him to turn up, aren't they? We've got the app first.
Darlington.
Doncaster.
Darlington, sorry. Yeah,
and I found this just before coming to the studio that we talked about Gabriel Tamás, didn't we?
Yeah.
Last week, who elbowed his friend in the face, hospitalised him, fellow professional footballer in the face. He's been released by Cluj after a week. They signed him and they've got rid of him. Due to a number of incidents.
Yeah, he managed to rack up a load of drink-related incidents within a week, which I think is Donaldson-esque, if you ask me.
The president of the club said about Tamás, he came, he drank, he left. We had little option.
Wow.
Glorious. Glorious. Oh, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We got there, and it's time for Pete's game.
It is indeed time for Pete's game.
Yeah, time to do one, Pete.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. We'll
stop.
Be to,
is we'll it Hidetoshi Nakata?
No, it is not.
Is it Gary Lineker?
This,
that would imply that Pete's come up with himself.
Oh, yeah. Shut your mouth.
Stop,
right.
Is it Zico?
It's Love Island Igorum. Made it all myself, so shush everyone.
Did you?
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
The listeners are thinking we should have come up with one.
Cheers for putting in the effort that everyone expects from you as a minimum for one.
Who's come up with these bloody clues now? I'll find out while I'm doing them.
Stop. Wait. Is it Andy Gorham?
No, it's not Andy Gorham.
Is it the other Andy Gorham?
All right. Thank you, this person. I will let you know precisely who that is in a second. I began my footballing career at Welling United while working as a computer operator for Greenwich Borough Council.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Stop. Jason Yule.
No, it's good not one. Jason Yule.
Stop. Is it Kevin Lisby?
No.
Stop. Is
good.
It Kevin Gallen?
No. Stop Kevin in everywhere. after making 105 appearances for Welling, I signed for Weymouth for £13,500 in 1984.
Oh. A lot better
while
quickly.
Ago. Yeah. You're going to have to move on, Pete.
Okay. I am left-handed.
Is that a clue?
Is it a goalkeeper?
Stop. Ned Flanders.
I won my first silverware with Aston Villa in 1994,
stop.
Winning the League Cup, beating Manchester United 3-1.
Nigel Spink.
No.
Stop. Is it Sean Teal?
No.
Stop. Dalian Atkinson.
No.
Wrong era. Get your head on, Campbell.
having made 134 appearances for Villa, I moved to Middlesbrough for $500,000 in 1997.
Oh, crap. Stop. It's Andy Townsend.
It is Andy Townsend.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, Sam.
Jack Chesterman well is his name. Thank you very much, Jack Chesterman.
Or Andy Townsend.
And thanks
as
very much,
better
Andy
known.
Townsend. Yeah, for being literally the worst co-commentator in the history of the game.
Don't be
70
nasty.
70 appearances for my beloved Ireland, qualifying thanks to my Irish grandmother, captain of the nation at 94. Ended my career at West Brom, moved into media work, and yeah, I've got tactics truck now, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been the...
Didn't need it.
No.
Didn't need it.
You got any correspondence, All Sports?
I have. Do you want to go first, Jim?
Yeah, why not? The Ramble, it simply states. This week, me and my wife went to the Philippines. On Tuesday, we were sat in the traffic and I realised I hadn't downloaded my podcast in the hotel. And with everyone in the taxi speaking Tagalog, I thought, bollocks, it can't cost that much to switch on the roaming and download the Football Ramble. £180. That's what the text said that I received 5 minutes later after the download had failed. Then going on to explain that my account had been blocked and it was fucking International Week. I've since listened to the show, and if I'm honest, feel slightly empty inside. Yeah. Still love you, though, Nick. Sorry, Nick. I mean, that's not really our fault.
He didn't even get the podcast. No.
We.
A lot of people would pay 180 quid to not have to hear it. But
yeah. I did something similar, but I racked up 250, so I win, to be honest.
Oh, well, yeah, Japan. We haven't heard about Japan. Go on, is that it? Is that
that's
the...
it, really.
Oh,
that was a highlight, was it?
That was the big exclusive.
Probably don't tell us what on.
Stankovic had his 103rd game.
Oh, Japan played Belarus.
Yeah. Yeah. Came out of retirement. It only lasted like 10 minutes and then went off.
Okay.
Bit rude.
Okay, we got more correspondence, sorry.
Yes, I took the liberty of picking up on the fact that Gary Lineker went to see Russell Brand live rather than watch England-Poland.
Outrageous.
Despite his outspoken views on the state of the England team, which I thought was a little bit... I mean, I don't mind Lineker, but I thought it was a little bit poor. So I asked our valued and loyal listenership...
Especially if he's not going to watch the game.
Some of which will pay up to £180 to hear it.
We don't know that Russell Brand didn't have the game on. He's
that's
a big
true.
Football fan.
That's true. I said, what's the worst reason you have for missing a football game? I've got quite a few good answers, actually, this week. I was quite chuffed. Eugene Bradley starts off by saying on the Twitter, my excuse for missing Palace versus Fulham tonight will be the teams involved. James Powell says, I got married on the FA Cup final day. All my mates were gathered around the big screen while we were cutting the cake. What a wedding. Brilliant. This, I don't really know what to make of this one. Maybe you guys can chip in. Calag Gale on Twitter says, I missed the semi-final of my team's tournament because my mum refused to do my washing and I had no shorts.
Wow.
Get a grip
of
yourself.
Yeah, Jesus, that's poor.
Get a grip of yourself. On the Facebook, what we got here. I missed England-Germany at the last World Cup because I stupidly arranged to go sphering, which I think is like zorbing, months in advance. I rolled down the hill in a ball for 20 seconds, listened to the second half of the game on a two-hour drive home, and it was unquestionably one of the worst days of my life.
Wow. ahead is the lesson.
That was by Gareth Walsh on the Facebook. What we got here? Jack Wells says he didn't go to Millwall away last season because he's scared of the bigger boys. let's see, what else have we got here? Yes, here's a good one. Joe Roberts on the Facebook. He says, Swansea versus West Ham in the FA Cup a few years back when we produced a giant killing result and knocked West Ham out 1-0. My mother brought Panto tickets and wouldn't have any of it, and she forced me to go, so I missed the game. I sobbed the whole way through, resenting my cruel mother's decision. I could only stand and stare at the Vetchfield floodlights out of the windows in the Swansea Grand Theatre foyer.
Oh, that's poetic.
And James Barnes finishes off with a reply that just says, funeral. Thanks, Dad.
Anyone else?
Goodness.
Anybody get anything? No.
That's it.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Pete.
Hello. How are you?
Do the Absolute Radio stuff.
Oh, the Absolute Radio football match this week comes from.
You see what happens when you don't have a plan.
Goal.
I mean, I know what it is. I know what it is. Oh, I can't find it.
No, don't worry. There's a match going on.
There's a match going on. We will have live Barclays Premier League commentary on the 26th of October. Liverpool versus West Brom. What a match! Hot dog.
Yeah.
Alan Pardew's hot dog. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Ketchup and mustard.
And goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
See you next week, gang.
Yay.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.